And I always say this to people. I say, it's always easier to preach the cross than it is to carry it. And we can do that as Christians too, right? We can say, hey, this is for you right here. And this one here right here. Yeah, that's for you. But what about when it comes to me? Oh man, it's just so hard. And so I justify myself. We're no different from this young lawyer in the parable.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message on the subject of forgiveness, taken from the parable of the Good Samaritan. Here's a question for you. Is it possible that God has a blessing in store for you, but he's waiting for you to forgive someone who has offended you? Here's Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, Love and Forgiveness.
Let's read the scripture, go. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according. Would you write this down? At the point of forgiveness and acceptance is when God starts to convert that event into what will benefit you and your future. It's at the point of forgiveness and acceptance. But you say, I wish I could turn the clock back. Listen, forgiveness cannot change the past, but it certainly can change your future. You can't roll the clock back when you forgive someone for an event that took place. You can't roll the clock back and reverse it. Forgiveness doesn't change your past, but I guarantee you it will change your future. And unforgiveness won't change your past, but it will change your future. It'll mutate it. It'll toxify it. It'll make it go septic. And what could have been optimum of your life, you'll start to live at a lesser rate because of this. I recently received an email from a lady who, there was an event that took place in her life a year and a half ago. And because she still hasn't reconciled that with God, she's still bitter at God as well as at that person. She is making the dumbest decisions now in relationships, doing stuff. I'm thinking, you know better than this. And I trace it all back to this event that she's still holding on to it with bitterness. She's not come to the point of forgiveness and acceptance so that God can start converting it for good. That event, because of a lack of forgiveness, is being used to toxify her future. There's a power in understanding forgiveness. And it's at the point of forgiveness and acceptance that God can start to convert that for good. And he will, because God will cause all things to work together for good. Is it easy? No. Forgiveness sometimes is the hardest thing in the world. That's why I think it's the final exam. See, all the other things I can handle. But when it comes to an injustice happening to you or your kids or something in your life, and God asks you to forgive, that's the hardest thing in the world. But I think the final exam is going to be, how well have you forgiven your neighbors? It's tough. Jesus wrestled with that in the Garden of Gethsemane. Look at what it says here. Would you read it with me? Go. My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground. And his prayer, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. But not what I will, but what you. Can you hear the passion in his voice? Father, you can do all things. Remove this cup. He's never prayed that prayer ever before in his life. The cup of what? Of having to go through this trumped up charge and all the betrayals and all of the insidious evil pinned on him, and he has to stand up and forgive them all. But if that doesn't happen, redemption doesn't begin. See, God can't convert that event into the redemption of humanity. And that is where he has to come to. But look at him struggling. He says, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of, do you remember? Death. Did you know that Jesus was saying, my soul is about that close to dying? Have you ever been so deeply grieved with something that you have no soul left? It's like, I'm done. I am finished. I give up. In fact, when your soul dies within you, you have these choices, and Jesus had them. The first is, if his soul would have died, he would have given up. So I give up. Forget this assignment of being Messiah stuff. I give up. The second is, if your soul died, he could have just run away. His disciples did. They all would run. But I think the third is this, and I bet I'd choose this. The third is, if his soul died, he could have just retaliated. So that's it with this mercy stuff. And called down a legion of angels and just blew them off the map. I don't know about you, but I think my choice would be to call down a legion of angels and destroy them. That's what I would do. How many of you would raise your hand and say, I think I'd do that too? Yeah. Yeah, because there's just something about us that of justice. I like justice. But justice might pacify you for a while, but it'll never heal you. And the world doesn't need another pacifier. The world needs a healer. And that's why God created us in his image and gave us the power to forgive, because he did it first. He won the victory and asks us to follow in his footsteps. That's why when he said, Father, forgive them, redemption took place. And he asks us, go now and do likewise. Because there's a lot of redemption that needs to happen in your marriage, your family, your place of employment, in this state. We need a lot of healing and redemption. It's going wrong way fast. And we have to return it, restore it, redeem it. And it's how we handle our neighbors, starting with our own family and our own church members. And so the Lord says, hey, listen, is it going to be easy? No, it'll grieve you to the point of death. Sometimes I do a message like this and I think, you know, this message is for me, not for other people. Because even pastors go through tough, tough times. And really, I put on my pants just like any of you guys, one leg at a time. And we don't forget that we're Christians. We forget that we're humans. And we wrestle with raw emotions. And I always say this to people. I say, it's always easier to preach the cross than it is to carry it. And we can do that as Christians too, right? We can say, hey, this is for you right here. And this one here right here. Yeah, that's for you. But what about when it comes to me? Oh, man, it's just so hard. And so I justify myself. We're no different from this young lawyer in the parable. And it's always easier to preach the cross than it is to carry it. But the Lord says, if any man is to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You can't follow Jesus unless you're willing to take the cross, because you'll have to. And it's going to take a bunch of courage. In fact, he says in Joshua 1:9, read it with me, go. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not fear or be dismayed, for the Lord is with you wherever you go. Now, let me just talk to the men for a second. Hey, men, there's going to be times in your family where you're right and they're wrong. At least you think so. Most men are, you know, we're all legends in our own minds. And we'll be fully convinced that we're right. But you know, it doesn't take a lot of courage to retaliate. It doesn't take a lot of courage to bicker. It doesn't take a lot of courage to be resentful, to show a clenched fist and to get angry. Doesn't anybody can do that. Let me just say, men, it takes a lot of courage to forgive. It takes a whole bunch of courage to ask for forgiveness. You want to be a man of courage? That's where it is. Anybody else can do the rest of the stuff. But it takes tons of courage to give forgiveness and to ask for forgiveness. And if you don't like what happened in your past, don't sit there and rehearse it and nurse it and get all upset about it. That's not going to change your past. I say this to men. I say, you don't like your past? Stand up and walk out of your history. Don't sit there and berate people and pin blame on people and fix the blame. Just stand up and walk out of your history. Because, folks, listen, there's no potential in history. It's empty of potential. You know where your potential lies? Right now and your future. Walk into your potential. You don't like your past? Stand up and walk out of your history. Get out of there. You spend too much time over here berating all the stuff here, getting all mad about this and that. Just be courageous. Stand up. Walk out of your history because there's no potential there anymore. It's empty. Done. You can't turn the clock back. And walk into your future. Get your mind off of that. Because you see, even though you forgive, the thoughts will keep on coming. And even though I forgive, you're going to have to battle those thoughts. In fact, you're going to win or lose one thought at a time. That's how you win. You win one thought at a time. But every time that thought comes up, you deal with it. Every time that thought comes up, you deal with it. It may be 30 times. 30 times the first day. After you forgive, it'll keep reminding you. You should have done this. You could have done that. Well, what about this? Hey, did you know they said this? I bet their motives were wrong or worse than what you thought. And you think, yeah, oh, man, oh. You will win or lose one thought at a time. And would you write down in your notes, we live or die? One thought at a time. No, you don't live one day at a time. One day at a time. No, it's one thought at a time. One thought. Because you forgive and it comes up again. I mean, within seconds. And you've got to say, I reject that. And then a thought will come up again. But if you would have played your cards right, you could have really gotten them back. Nope. Done. Yeah, but you have enough to sink their ship. Nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to use that ammunition. Done. You've got to battle and win one thought at a time. And I would say the first day, it's 30 times you'll have to do that. If you don't, it will haunt you. Those thoughts will stalk you until it overcomes you and pulls you back into your history where there is no potential. There's no potential. It's absent of potential. Your potential lies what's right here now in you and what's ahead of you. Stand up, walk out of your history. But you're going to have to do that one thought at a time. That's why the Bible says this. Let's read it in our notes. Go. We are destroying speculations and everything raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience. Yeah. That's where the final test is going to be. That's where the final test is. One man said it this way. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, and you reap a reputation. And you sow a reputation, and you reap a destiny. All starts with a thought. Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, you reap a what? Habit. Sow a habit, you reap a what? And you sow a reputation, and you reap your destiny. It all starts with a thought. You win one thought at a time. And if you win, then you're free from all of those things. And you allow God to convert it into your future. Otherwise, it'll be something that'll weight your past. But if you understand forgiveness and you walk forward, one thought at a time, then God takes your past, which is empty of potential, converts it into a future of wisdom, understanding, and likeness to Christ. The power of forgiveness is absolutely amazing. That's why the devil works against you in that area so hard. Because if you don't forgive, you're stuck to your past. You're no longer free from it. It will stalk you the rest of your life. And it'll cause you to make the dumbest decisions. Let me finish with this story of Corrie Ten Boom. Corrie Ten Boom, in her book, The Hiding Place, was a Dutch family that actually helped Jewish people escape. But if you were caught helping Jewish people escape, you and your family would either be annihilated or put in concentration camp yourselves. Her family was caught. Her parents were executed, and she and her sister, Betsy, was put in Ravensbrück, a concentration camp. Her sister, Betsy, was younger and prettier, so she was molested and abused by the guards and beaten until she was about ready to die. And the scene shows Corrie Ten Boom and her sister. And her sister is just about ready to expire. And Corrie is so angry. Her fists are clenched. And she said, I hate those guards. I hate them for the rest of my life. I will hate them. I will never forgive them. And Betsy says, Corrie, you must forgive. She said, not on your life. I will never forgive them. I will see them in hell before I forgive them. She said, no, you must forgive them. She says, well, maybe. Maybe one day, if they come groveling in the dust, begging me to forgive them, maybe on that day I'll forgive. And Betsy said something I'll never forget. She said, Corrie, you cannot wait for that day. You must be free long before that time. You see, forgiveness sets you free so God can convert it into a great future, and you walk into that potential. He actually takes it and uses it for a greater future rather than something that holds you back. And you're going to win that one thought at a time. Your final exam is going to be, as a Christian, how well have you forgiven? But here's a tip. The final exam will not be at the end of your life. The final exam is happening right now. It's happening now with your family, your friends, people at work. It's going on all the time. Because you don't know when God's going to pull your number. How are you doing with your neighbors? Win it one thought at a time. And the more you do, the more supernatural it will become. And the more God will be able to use your past to make you a bright and wonderful future. It's the power of forgiveness. And when God knows that you and I are just like Him, He'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. We want to be just like Him. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Let's be those people. Let's stand together as we conclude. Thanks, Brittany. Well, it's a beautiful day. Hey, by the way, thank you so much for your patience. You may not know this, but there was quite a bit of a backup because there was actually an accident out on the street, and hopefully not our people, but nevertheless, there was just a fender bender. So it just kind of stopped everybody up. And everyone had to be just so patient. And can I just say thank you for being a family that's patient. And so when you do leave, be nice to each other. Don't beep your horn at each other. Just kind of go like this, let them go in and allow that. And we'll begin to put into practice what God has taught us. But thanks for being a close family, a close-knit family. There's nothing more beautiful than that. Thank you very much. We're going to pray. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here and you say, Wayne, I need to ask forgiveness vertically first before I can give it horizontally. And that's so true because, you see, until God brings His forgiveness to you, He cannot give His forgiveness through you. Before you're a receptor of God's love, you cannot be someone through whom He loves others. Because you become a passageway of His forgiveness, a passageway of His love, a passageway of His wisdom. But until you allow Him to flood you with Himself, then nothing can go horizontally to those around you. Where does it start? By you receiving Christ. If you've never said yes to Jesus, if you've never come to a point where you said, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm asking you to do that today. It'll be the most eternal decision you will ever make in your life. It's very simple. All you got to do is say, Jesus, would you come into my heart? Forgive me of my sins and lead me in your everlasting way. You may not understand everything there is to understand about Jesus, but that's not the point. You receive Him not by comprehension. You receive Him by faith. And then He opens up your comprehension. So if you've never said yes to Jesus, do that today and let Him begin a work in you. Because even though you came based on an invitation from a friend or a family member, ultimately it will have been God Himself that invited you today to hear this message and to open your heart to Him. So if you're here and you'd say, I need to accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I need to say yes to Him to be my Lord. If that's you right now, would you raise a hand? Go ahead and just say, yes, that's me. Lord, would you receive me? I say yes to you. If that's you, raise a hand and say, yep, I receive Jesus today. I'm receiving Him as Lord and Savior. Yep, good, good. If this is the first time you're receiving Christ, make sure you get a yes packet. Ushers will have them outside. You could be a Christian today and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I need a little bit of help forgiving, but with God's help, I'll get better. I really will. Lord, would you help me? And would you raise your hand if that's you? Say, yep, Lord, would you help me? I've got some forgiving to do. Lord, would you help me? Yeah, He will. Would you pray this prayer after me? And then we'll sing our final song. Say this after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and you died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you as my Lord. And now I say this so everyone hears, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. Lord, thank you for these who say yes to you, to turn their lives to you. Lord, we ask that we as a family of New Hope believers will continue to march strong in the advance of your kingdom and grow deep and wide by the grace of your love. Thank you for your amazing love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, welcome these and say yes to Jesus. Say yes.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Love and Forgiveness by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.
Hi, this is Wayne Cordero. there's a brand new church starting up, New Hope West, right on our beautiful Bible College campus in Eugene, Oregon. It's time for the Word of God to live in each of us in a way that'll change our lives and the worlds in which we live. So join us at New Hope West on our Bible College campus, 2155 Bailey Hill Road in Eugene, Oregon. Two services, 9 and 11 a.m. We'll see you there.
What if there were a place where you could discover, develop, and fulfill your dreams? That place is New Hope Christian College.
New Hope Christian College is a place where your teachers really do care about you, they want you to succeed, and they're willing to partner with you to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
The education that I've received at New Hope has really equipped me to graduate market ready.
For more information, go online to newhope.edu or call 1-800-322-2638. New Hope Christian College, a place where dreams are released.